that Constance put together. Thank you, Constance.
You're welcome.
We will touch on all of these things. Now, one thing I will tell you is I try my best to save paper. So for some of the screenshots on the pages that look like this, they're going to be up here, but they're not going to be in your book. They're the ones that I think we don't need to reproduce. A lot of them will be just the full screen, like here's what the page looks like. To take the place of that is the selected sites discussed here. And if there's any that we miss, we can certainly use your favorite search engine to find them as well. We said we're pretty informal before we started, and I really like that. We're going to be together until 5 o'clock. We're probably going to take a couple of short, brief breaks. My number one rule is suffering is optional. I don't want anybody to sit out there and think you have to get up and go outside or whatever for a minute. Just go. You know, we'll be here and we'll keep on talking. But we will take a couple of breaks. There are no dumb questions. Any question is a good question in this room. We can talk about anything related, we can talk about anything, but we probably should stay related to the topic for our time together. So please ask questions, etc. All right. I'm going to sit a little bit, but I'll stand in for a while. Here we go. Guess what? It's afternoon. I forgot to change that. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to define web logs. We're going to talk a bit about why you should be blogging at the library. We'll look at a bunch of web logs. We'll look at RSS, and I'm intrigued that a couple of you mentioned it. There are things you can do with RSS. We'll talk about implementations and best practices. So what are web logs? Okay, one of my favorite definitions. Laurel Clyde, professor of information science at the University of Iceland, wrote a book called Web Logs and Libraries. The first book of its kind, really, and I haven't seen anything since, although I've heard some things are cooking. I'm actually going to do my dissertation on web logs and libraries, so this was a good book to get. Laurel Clyde died of a heart attack in September of 2005 in the middle of a great career looking at web logs and social software. Here's her definition from an article, and it's a really good one. I won't read it to you, but it brings out that it's like a journal almost. It's a news source. It's a software tool that builds upon itself, okay? And here's some statistics. These are kind of interesting. Technorati, and this I don't think is in your list of URLs. Technorati.com is a blog search engine, and we'll see it in just a bit. But Technorati posts statistics every once in a while. And that one, I think it was February 6th, they did their statistics thing and said they now track 27.2 million blogs. And the blogosphere, there's a good word to take home, the blogosphere, that's all things related to blogs. That's all the different voices writing blogs in the world, out on the world wide web. It's doubling in size every 5.5 months. So 5.5 months from now, that's going to be a lot more than 27.2 million. It's grown 60 times bigger than it was 3 years ago. And listen, a new web blog is created every second. There was another one. If we all had laptops and a connection, we'd all be making blogs today, so there'd be another 15 web blogs added to the pile. But that's interesting, you know, I've done this class hands-on. You do it, and then the web blogs kind of go away, you know, for the class. The interesting thing is, 13.7 million bloggers are still posting 3 months after they created their blogs, meaning that's still a lot of folks that are actively blogging. You know, and I've seen library blogs that last updated September 2nd, 2004, and it's still sitting there. If you have one of those blogs, you don't have to tell us, but I would take it down immediately and then rethink if you want to launch it again, and hopefully after today you will. 1.2 million blog posts each day, about 50,000 an hour. That is a lot of people typing, a lot of people telling us stuff. All right, since January of 2005, Technorati has been tracking blog posts with tags. There's another one of your keywords for our time together. Tags is very important. Tagging is assigning a keyword to the post. I do a post about iPods and libraries. I will tag it iPods, libraries, maybe even librarians, because I like that tag a lot. Tech Narati tracks those, and you can actually search by tag to find posts keyworded to a particular tag. Now let's take a step over for a second and think about this. There are blog authors out in the world that are tagging their posts. What are they doing? They're cataloging. Yeah, they're doing it themselves. Another term for you would be folksonomy, which is a user-created classification system created by the folks, by the people. The blog finder in Tech Narati tracks over 850,000 blogs. All right. Word of the year 2004, Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the word was weblog. There were that many people searching it online. So let's talk about library weblogs. Here's our definition again. This is Laurel Clyde, and she wrote about libraries and weblogs. Weblog software, that's all it is. We're talking about a tool today. It's a content management system. Weblog features of that tool, that software, and there's many different types, which we'll see toward the end, include things such as dated entries, a mission or goal statement for you all that are going to launch a blog for your libraries. Please, please, please have a mission or goal. And that's one of our best practices today. Hopefully categories, archives, some links, and other things. But let's just not list them. Let's take a look at them. This is my blog. It's called Tame the Web, Libraries and Technology. And this is what it looks like. Let me move my bag out of the way. Most web blogs will be similar to this. You will find a title across the top, a place where the entries go, and then a side menu of links and a search box or whatever. Now this might be flipped. You might have the side menu over there. Or I've even seen blogs that have two side menus, okay? And then the entries in the middle. In a blog post, such as one we just saw on the front end, there's a lot of information. For example, you probably will find a posting time that is a permanent link to that post. And that's one of the most important things that blog software does, is it takes that post about iPods and libraries and gives it a unique URL. And that URL is good because it's searchable. Google will index it. And guess what? Google loves weblogs. Weblog entries sometimes go to the top of the heap. It's very interesting. Comments on blog posts, if comments are turned on and you have one, you might see something like that. And the trackback. A trackback is when someone else on their blog likes what you've posted about. Michael wrote about iPods and libraries. He met a fellow in Kentucky who's about to launch an iPod program. And that's Lee, who told me about it before we started. So this person links to my post about iPods and libraries, and that becomes a trackback. And it actually, techie term, pings my weblog and initiates a trackback. So I can see, I don't have any trackbacks here, but if I did, I could click and it would say that so-and-so blogger linked, blah, 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 and maybe even a little bit the lines of the text. So what happens is we start building community. We're linking to each other, and we're talking to each other via the software. Questions?
Yes? Can just anybody that has a blog comment, if it's somebody who's, messing around or something, can you delete that?
Yes.
Or is that permanently?
Yeah. Now that's a good question. We're going to talk more about this. It's a really good question. This can be kind of scary, especially for you all that might open up a public blog to your users, your students, your public. What might happen? You never know. And we can certainly talk about that. There are libraries that allow comments open and then just take care of editing as needed. Here's a close-up of a single post. Like if you click through that permalink, the title will still be there. You get the description or the text,
usually some links to go back and forward and up to the main. And then, I like this, posted by Michael on the date, blah, 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 and in the permalink. So it tells you, especially if you have a group blog, it tells you who posted it. Now, one thing you might think about for your library blogs is if you have a group of folks that are going to start posting, they all should have their own unique login to the blog. Because what we're doing is we're setting up voices. Voices in the library. And that's, I think that's kind of important. Puts human face on the library. At my library, we have 30 librarians. My former library, forgive me. We have 30 librarians trying to blog. And all their names show up and they post something. So you get to know that one of them is Mrs. B. You know, you don't have to put your full name or anything like that. Mrs. B writes about certain types of books, and maybe some of our readers really, really like her writing, and they will look for her posts. Side menu, that's kind of small, but you'll probably find about the blog, as well as a search box. Then, usually down on that side menu, you'll find if your blog software does categories, and I think categories can be very helpful because the blog is self-organizing. It will list all the categories out. Like, for example, if I am blogging from computers and libraries, you will see how many posts, and that actually, you can click on it and get all those posts on one page. And then you'll find archives by date. If you think, wow, Michael wrote something in January 2006, but I don't remember what it was, you could click and go in and look and look and look and probably find that post. Here's some other features, and just depending on the blog software. Draft mode is where you don't have to publish it immediately. It can stay. Now, if you are, does anybody write a weblog in the room? I should have asked that. Okay. Here's what, if there were any bloggers in the room, or if you're a secret blogger, never blog in anger, okay? Save in draft mode and wait till the next morning, because your opinion might change. Time of release, maybe I have a blog post ready to be released today. I know I'm traveling today and working with you all, so maybe I have a post that's automatically going to go up. That's what time of release is. You can have abbreviated entries on the top level of the blog, and then you click through for longer ones. You can have multiple blogs on some servers, and then the trackback, which we discuss. What do you need to blog? Blake Carver, 2003, Library Journal and NetConnect. He said you need a few things. You need some software. You need some server space and to know a little tiny bit of programming. Okay? Just a little bit. And you need time, ding, 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 and you need something to say. Yes?
Are the features you just went over available in the free blogging software?
Yes.
They are.
And let me tell you right now, I'll just throw it out there. Write this down. WordPress. WordPress.org. Totally free, open source, blogging software, totally, totally free. To download and use, it does categories, it does a lot of those things.
You're still loading that locally on a server then, right? Your own server.
Yeah, right. And we're going to talk all about that. The question is, it goes on your server. Yes. And if you need multiple blogs, you have to install it multiple times. But it's free, free, free. Tomorrow, with the group, I'm going to go through a handful of technologies that are free, 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 for the most part, other than staff time, and say, look at what we can do in libraries today without writing huge, gigantic checks. I'm giving it all away without spending a bunch of money.
We won't tell.
Don't tell anybody. You act surprised tomorrow. Okay? When I say it's free, you guys go, ooh. Okay. You can edit your blog. Here's where it starts to get really interesting. You can edit it from the web, meaning you can edit it from anywhere. From home, from on the road, from the library, wherever. You just have to be able to get in. Get into it, log into it. You know, this is password protected, probably. But it's web-based, so you have web forms. You can get in, you can paste your text in from your word processor. Word is a wreck when you paste into blog software because of all the formatting. So make a little star there that you gotta be careful saving this text. You can have multiple authors throughout the library, okay? And here's the way to proceed. And I'll do this, okay. Constance and I decide that we're going to put up a brand new page on our website, right? We got to get this information out about the big program this spring. We write the text, okay? And then we say, okay, we got to get it approved, okay? So I'll go get it approved. Hi, can you approve my content for me?
Sure.
Okay, so it might take a little bit getting the approval, but yay. So we're ready to go. And where does it go next? It goes to the IT department. Hi, can you put this up for me? If the IT department is super duper busy, and the IT department is, right? It could take a while, right? When you have one person that's responsible, and I think somebody said this when we started, that the stuff piles up and then they have to, or they get a file and they have to put it together. What you can do with weblog software, with web-based blog editing, is everybody gets access to a page that looks like this, and they can create their own content. So Constance and I could have actually written the whole blog post and then published it. Now, if we're in a library where we've had training on the mission and the voice of the library and the library blog, we could go for it. Or it might go to an editor who will put their eyes on it, make sure it looks good, and then they'll publish. That step probably isn't as long as waiting for someone that has a ton of stuff to do. So here's what it looks like, and this is movable type. This is a commercial product, blogging product, used by a lot of professional bloggers. I use it for my blog, I like it. I haven't moved to WordPress, but I may someday. I would put in the title, there's my entry body. I can select a category. And you can't see it, but when I'm done, there's a button down below that says save. And that sets the blog in motion, the blog software, publishes, builds all the new pages, and the newest post goes to the top. That's one of the most important things, and that goes back to our definition, the newest post is at the top of the page. So think about the information comments, okay? The printers are down to the blog, and it's right up there at the top. The printers are down today, we're very sorry we're working. Then tomorrow, the printers are fixed, yeah, or whatever, and then that message starts marching on down. Okay. Now, beyond the server-based software, there's Blogger, blogger.com. And if you want to get your feet wet after today, go home, go back to the library, and go to blogger.com and get an account. Okay? It's very easy. It takes like 3 minutes. And then try it. Try publishing your own blog. It won't hurt anything. Blogger's hosted by Google. Looks like this. see this? Create your own blog now. Click. It takes you through like 3 screens. Okay? And then you can try it out. Now, let's fast forward. So you're back at your library, so you got the blogging initiative going, right? And you need to train folks how it's going to work. One thing you could do is have them all get a Blogger blog to try it out. Or give them all logins for your locally hosted blog and let them play with it. But this is a great way to start because it really doesn't hurt anything. Editing looks like this in Blogger. Here's an example. It's WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. And you can actually, look at this, you can bold, italic stuff, do the numbered lists and the bullets, and then save as draft or publish post. It's that simple. And this is an example from the University of Saskatchewan Aboriginal Resources Portal. Yeah. Okay, so why blogs and libraries? Let's talk a little bit about this as well. All right. Mary Lane Block said all the way back in 2001, do you believe it? That's a lot of years in internet years. That's a long time. She said we can keep current in our profession if we read and write blogs about librarianship. She also said weblogs could be an excellent external promotion and communication tool. External, talking to your users. Huey came along in 03 and said, oh yes, but it's also great internally. It's great to talk to the staff. It's the perfect type of software. And let's not forget that it's an outlet for those of us that want to journal or have some self-expression. Haynes said blogging is natural for librarians, again, communication tool. And Huey said librarians are born to blog as well. I like that. So guess what? These tools are available that are going to let us talk directly to our users. We can use them to get information out to our users more quickly. And if we don't, our users might not think about us as a source for information. Okay? Has anybody read the Clutrain Manifesto? We'll talk about the Clutrain a little tomorrow, too. The Clutrain, this is a business book from 2000, but it really, really applies. The Clutrain is all about the fact that there are conversations going on out in the marketplace. And the marketplace in the Clutrain is the networked realm of consumers and people that are online. Okay? Network conversations are enabling powerful new forms of social organization. People are getting together and they're talking about stuff, right? Have you heard like a news story about how a blogger has swayed something? Or a blog post has caused something to happen? That's what we're talking about. And we're also talking about transparency. Transparency meaning the library is going to tell you what they're doing. How we're spending your money. How we're spending your student funds, taxpayers' money, whatever type of library you're coming from, and what we're going to do with it. Excellent example is Ann Arbor District Library's blog, where they come right out and say, we have an incredible circulation, we need to build a new branch, it's going to cost this much money, and here's how we're going to do it, and let's talk about it. Okay, now I've got to tell you guys something. You can't tell anybody. Get this. Yesterday, Tuesday, in the South Bend Tribune, I live in Mishawaka, Indiana, South Bend, Indiana, they're right next to each other, we had a board meeting. My former library had a board meeting Monday night. We have 8 branches. They want to close one. Or they're thinking about closing one. And it finally sunk in to the board members' heads what they're doing. They want to close a branch in a not thriving part of town, if you will, and build a brand new fabulous branch in a thriving part of town. And a board member called our director out. This was in the newspaper. She said, I can see in your gray hair and your eyes that you've been planning this all along, blah, blah, blah. All this was quoted in the papers. It's so scary. Whew. And I told them a year ago, if you're going to start a project like this, you need to tell everybody what you're doing. And they didn't. And Jessamine West, who is a librarian blogger, librarian.net, and forgive me for saying this, she did a post yesterday. She found this article. Michael Stevens leaves and everything goes to hell. I'm horrified. You know, I only work for them when the director's going to write Silicon Valley. But she said, look what's happening at St. Joseph County Public Library, and look how they're not telling anybody. And she made a link. You click it, and it goes to this page on our website that says, Library Board Information and was last updated in April 05. Page taken care of by our director. Don't talk about this. When I said a year ago, we should be blogging this, and we should even just blog just for the library board. So we're talking about transparency. There's a personal story about how that broke down. If you look at Jessamine's post, you can get the actual links. It's craziness. So here's what I said. Communication with the blog, plus conversation, comments turned on, talking about it. What if we said a year ago, we may close a branch. What do you all think to our users? And let them comment on the blog post. That's kind of scary, but I think it's good. Equals community. We're building community online. Here's transparency again. I think I touched on this. Communicates to staff what people do. Okay, let's take it internal for a second. That one's kind of important. If you had a internal blog, library staff news, you would keep everybody in the know, right? If you send people to conferences, at your library, or at my former library, we would send people to ALA, okay? There might be some staff that are like, why are 10 people going to San Francisco in June? And what are they doing? We might blog about that. So we're telling the staff what we're doing as well. We're not hiding anything. We're just doing mountains and mountains of communication. Questions? How we doing? You doing okay? All right. I like this one, but I'll tell you, this is a blog that has since fallen away. They haven't kept up on it. But, and I don't remember what library it is, but a librarian named Robin Hastings said, we need to start a library conference blog, and all the people that are going to conferences will be able to blog back to the library staff so we know what's going on. Instead of, you know, you get back from a conference, does anybody have to write a report? And what happens to that report? It's like,
why bother?
We all had to write reports for the board, and you know what our board's like. And they would just disappear into the board packet and go away. Robin's library was the same way, so they found that they would put their reports up in a blog. But something didn't work. So take that with a grain of salt, ponder it. Maybe something like that might work. All right, here's one of our toolkit alerts. We'll wrap up with this section. Okay? You can use weblogs to communicate out. I love the idea of the information commons blog. Excellent. And if we're very transparent in what we're doing, and we have a presence on a thriving internal blog, we can create buy-in with staff, and I think buy-in is very important, as well as with users. Okay, you all right? Any questions? Okay, Clyde said, blogs have many implications for librarians. And library managers need to be aware of what they can do. So what can they do? Clyde said, here's some types of LIS web blogs. News, project-based blogs, thoughts of a particular librarian, and photo blogging. A colleague of mine, Aaron Schmidt, and I did a presentation, an online presentation, at a conference in February of 2005, where we even broke them down further than what Clyde did. Let's just jump into these. The first type under library-sponsored blogs are marketing blogs. And I know somebody said marketing when we started. They promote the library services and programming as well as loads of information out to the users. News, new materials list, and this could be your most dynamic content, okay? Think about my library's website. We have a thriving web blog, thriving, 30 authors. And then we have that board page sitting over here. Ho-hum, from April 2005. The dynamic content is on the web blog. For example, here it is. The name has changed since I took this screenshot. SJC Bell Lifeline, what's new for you? Here's what's new materials. Think about what you might do for your library. We actually have book covers in there. Here's all the categories. Musical notes, movies, on the books, in the news. We have a category just for local history and genealogy. Think about the categories you might set up. Electronic resources, new books, new databases, programming opportunities, training opportunities. Here is, this is very interesting. It's not a beautiful page, okay? But it really gets a lot of information out there. This is Moraine Valley Community College up in Illinois. And this is four different blogs fed into one page. So this is our first hint of RSS, rich site summary or really simple syndication. They have a library news blog, a resources and search tips blog, a construction blog, I think that's great, and they had the Frankenstein exhibit. So they did a blog just to go into that. If we click through on any of these, we would go to the actual blog, but they're putting all the content on one page so folks can scan it. Okay, library-sponsored blogs still, topical blogs. That's specific blogs for specific subjects or users. For example, the teen blog, the student blog, book reviews, a lot of choices there, including the Waterloo Public Library Book Club blog. Waterloo Public Library in Ontario, Canada, has a book club. So they meet once a month and talk about books. And then they can take their conversation online to the blog. The librarians can post, and the book club members can post comments, so they have the discussion away from the library. I like this one a lot. This is a school media blog in Michigan. Where are we at? Lakeview High School, Battle Creek. A librarian named Margaret Lincoln was preparing students for a traveling Holocaust exhibit. They all read Night by Elie Wiesel. So she set up a blog, and to make it more interesting, she partnered with a school in New York State. So they would both be contributing to the same blog and reading the same book at the same time. So she would post, and it's down here, what do you believe to be the most memorable passage in Night? And there are loads of comments back and forth, okay? And this is a school media example, but let's take it into our realm. What might we do in the academic library? Any thoughts?
We could do on the fly surveys. You know, what do you think of the new
right.
coffee shop? What do you think of the new?
That's a good idea.
In our library, we have Southern Kentucky Book Fest, and also one book, one campus, one community, one book event, and the children's version is on the same page. So that one can utilize this. Let the kids,
one campus, one
yeah, book. Talk about the book.
Can you see how that would just fall right into this template?
That's right. That's
really,
right.
All we're talking about again is a tool that you overlay your cool content. Because you got the cool content, all of you do. Throw it into this, and I think it would be pretty
cool.
All right, internal logs. That is communicating with the staff. Maintained and used by librarians and the staff. All the staff memos. Okay? In your library. You guys are cool. Okay? You know what it's like. Does somebody send a memo out via email to everybody? Or they tack it up and then they send you a printed copy. Okay. If you can get away from all that, and at my former library, we did it. We did this part, but we never got away from all the other. You could centralize all of your staff announcements. It's great for keeping the part-time staff in the know. Okay? Here we are, we're at the Monday morning meeting. Everybody, this is what's happening in the library. And then all the part-timers come in Monday afternoon and they miss out on the meeting. They could read about it on an internal blog. Policy procedures could go up there and open up comments and let people talk. This is a prototype of the SJCPL leaflet that I helped develop a couple years ago. It is a blog. It is for the staff. And over here are some of the categories. The administrators have their own categories. Computer room, department and branch news. Our most popular category was from the suggestion box. Where you could, down here, you could actually submit a question to the suggestion box anonymously. As much as you can, you know, with IPs. You know, somebody could figure it out for sure. But our assistant director would then blog a response. And it would go up just for the staff inside. They were the most popular posts because it talked about what people were most interested in. And we were so hung up on the dress code. In 2003, we had loads of posts about that. Questions?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So you can configure it so that only the librarians and staff they
right.
can post,
right.
but the whole site is still public, still open to the public, right? It's on the web.
You know.
Oh, is it passworded or?
Yeah, it's behind a firewall.
Oh, okay.
I don't know anything about firewalls.
Whatever.
It's
well,
behind
uh-huh.
it.
Okay.
It's in a secure place. Now there are some small libraries, that use a blogger blog. It's free. You turn it on right now. To do staff communication. You don't put up people's personal information or anything like that, but still, it's a tool out there for free that you can use immediately if you don't have a big server or someone to load WordPress. Okay, Williams College Libraries has a web team, a web development team. They have their own blog. All of their meeting minutes goes there, all of their agendas. Okay, so we're standing in the hall of the library. I say to Constance, I don't know what that web team's doing. They go in my room for 2 hours, and I don't know what they're doing. Wait, let's look at the blog and see what their agenda is and see what they're talking about. Okay, again, this could be staff only. But it takes away a lot of that, what are they doing? What are they talking about? What decisions are being made? So you could actually follow along. And if I was Jason, I better be responsible for the notes. Okay? That keeps you on your toes, too. It makes staff accountable. Organizational blogs. Does KLA have an organizational blog?
PLA has one.
Maintained by large entities, okay, for librarians, associations, conferences, etc. For example, the ALA Tech Source blog. I actually write for this one. I love to write for this blog. This is from the folks at ALA Tech Source Publishing. They decided they wanted to do some blogging as well, and get some librarians talking about technology. This is under the banner of ALA. I submit something, and it's actually edited. And then it's published by the editor. California Library Association blog. This is where all their new news goes. This is not their top level. I wish it was. I wish their blog was their top level. But this is where they put out all their information about the upcoming conference. Okay, and there's a few of these. I'm going up to Minnesota in May to talk about Library 2.0 and communication. And they have a blog up there for the library consortium. And they'll announce things like that. There's a speaker coming, you might want to come. So this could be useful for associations, for the conference.
Michael, can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
We had a conversation, just kind of the beginning of a conversation, about meeting SLA, Kentucky Chapter, about the possibility of doing away with our newsletter and putting a blog up in place. And one of the things that's kind of a hang-up for that is the idea that people like to be able to print it off and take it someplace else and go read it someplace else. With any of these folks who've done this, do you know if they also are publishing a printable form, or is there an easily printable form for these?
Darien Public Library in Darien, Connecticut, did newsletters for the longest time. I actually went out and spent 2 days with them in June of last year. They're now publishing blogs, and at a certain time, they'll pull off a lot of the content and shoot it out via email or PDF. Now, it's kind of coming late. But, you know, you do all your postings for March.
Just for a couple more days.
Where am I? wait, is this Boston? You do all your postings for March, okay? And it's about that time now. The conference is kicking in. You could, if you had like a nice cascading style sheet, printable format, print it to PDF and then shoot it out to your mailing list. Or post it on the blog and say, click here to download all of the month's stuff and then take it. So I think it would transfer. You could gather all your stuff in a blog format and then find ways to print.
It just strikes me that, you know, one of the things that we've done is we've got specific members who are going to write up different sessions.
Right.
And you could just throw it straight into a blog and be done with it.
I like that. I'm gonna make a note of that. I would like to find out more about that. It seems like it'd be very smooth, and then everybody has the same interface to work in. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's jump over to the independent librarian side for just a little bit. Just so you know, okay, frontline bloggers. Frontline bloggers detail the daily occurrences in libraries, and they're often anonymous. Have you seen one of these blogs? Like Ref Grunt, where you stay on the reference desk and you grunt out what you're doing. You know, book about this, book about that, internet sign in, where's the restroom, that kind of thing. It's like stream of consciousness. Okay, it can be kind of ranty, kind of snarky. What a great word snarky is. It's kind of you know, at people. It can be kind of mean, okay? You got to take that with a grain of salt. It can be kind of mean. Nobody has been fired yet that I know, and that Aaron and I found. We talked to two bloggers that when their administrators found out, they called them into the office. You know, and said, what's up with this blog thing? And one blogger ceased. And the other used it as a teaching time to say, here's what blogs are, here's what I do, and here's why the library should be doing it. My favorite is the Feel Good Librarian. Anybody read the Feel Good Librarian? Yay. She's good. She writes about, she works at the reference desk at a large or medium-sized city public library, urban setting. She interacts with patrons. It is totally, totally anonymous. Okay, now maybe a patron might read a post and say, ooh, that was me. But I don't think it's ever happened. She flies deep under anonymity. Then there are the independent librarians' blogs, the innovator and commentator folks. Those are the ones that are writing about the profession for librarians. I did a survey as part of my preliminary research study to get my my coursework all done of librarians who blog, and I gathered 238 responses to a survey. 238 librarians answered. Who are the blog people, it's called. It was kind of interesting to see who they were and why they did it. And most of the reasons they did it was to build community, to contribute their voice to the profession, and to share their learning with other folks. And here's a whole bunch of them. Can't pick just one, but there are a lot out there. If you go to any of the guides, and I think I have a link to a blog bibliography. The Shifted Librarian is one of my favorites. Information Wants to Be Free, Library Crunch. Here's the Well-Dressed Librarian. He's kind of funny. He's kind of funny. Cool. LISnews.com is a clearinghouse of maybe 20 librarians writing about the profession, all being fed in to the same blog. Okay? Now, if you're very interested to see what's happening in your area, academic, special, if you have a certain research interest or censorship or just about any category, you can look at these posts by category. They have a category for Harry Potter, of all things. So anytime Harry Potter is mentioned in relating to libraries, the books, schools, whatever, you can see those posts. These are newsworthy posts relating to library information science. Now, the University of Minnesota has done something very interesting. The library gives any student and any faculty and any staff a blog automatically. It's on their server. You think it's all. All you have to do is get a login, and they give you a blog. That's crazy. Stephen Bell, Library Journal, October 05, he found that he was worried that students were not seeing the web blog. So I get a gum in my pocket. And I'm tired of making that noise. Okay. Every time I move around. Okay, good. Sorry. He found that if he put his content inside of WebCT or Blackboard or whatever it was, you guys, for academic folks, you do something like that, putting it into the courses where it made sense, the students started seeing the posts more and would click through and visit the library. It's a good article. It's kind of like, he gets really technical. But he says if there's some thoughtful planning about pushing blog content to users, a library blog can be very, very positive. That's Library Journal 101505. You can download it from the Library Journal page. Okay, let's talk a little bit about tagging. We'll end up our look at library web blogs. Here's Techerati again. You can search by tags. I was just at Computers and Libraries 2006 and Public Library Association 2006. Computers and Libraries tag was CIL 2006. If we were live and put that in, we would get every blog post tagged CIL 2006. And what it gives you is an overview of the conference. Okay? Same with PLA.
Michael, is there any kind of control tags?
No. There is. You know who controls it? The folks. We do it together.
No, I understand that, but so for instance, is there a list that you can say, I want to assign this one, this one, this one, this one? So that's all CIL, or right. Are there some that are computers in libraries, so you have to
some people probably did that.
Okay.
But early on, at the top of the Computers in Libraries like main blog page, they said our tag, our official tag, is CIL 2006. So it's kind of like the community does it and self-corrects, and maybe there's no official, and maybe there will be someday, but always ALA will be ALA in the year. That will be the universal tag. And we're actually starting that, you know, with all these conferences, we're starting it already, kind of making a taxonomy. If you're interested in blog posts about libraries and iPods, put both of those words here in search and you might get some choices back. Let's talk about some newer trends in blogging. Photo blogging for people provides a glimpse into everyday life. Okay, You could, instead of putting up words, you put up a picture of what you're doing. I did a couple today. When I got to the airport, it said Lexington. I took a picture. I took a picture with my cell phone, because a lot of folks are getting cell phones with cameras, okay? That I can take a picture and then tap, 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 send it via email off of the phone to my web blogger. So that's what people are doing. Can I take your picture for Flickr?
Sure.
Is that okay? And I won't, I probably won't get to put this up until,
well, that's all right, this is the last over picture all day.
So. Okay, get it over here, I gotta make sure I get everybody. Oh, yay, okay, smile everybody. Okay, I did this at PLA. We had 300 people in the room, I had to do three things. But everybody's smiling, I don't know how it happened, but we actually caught them smiling. And now people are actually in Flickr, which we're gonna talk about in a second, they're actually putting little notes on people to say, oh, there's my friend so-and-so. Cool. All right. We talked about full sound. Let's take a look. Here's the Rutland Free Library up in Vermont. Teeny tiny little library, teeny tiny little Vermont town. There, they have nice pictures on the front end of their page. This isn't the blog. If I click on that picture, it drops me into a site called Flickr, into the Rutland Free Library's photo stream at Flickr, into their image blog. Okay? And this is in your URL list, flickr.com, F-L-I-C-K-R.com. $25 will get you a year of Flickr, and it's the best $25 you could spend for getting the images of your library out into the world, out into the great big pool, because, look, they're tagged. Every picture can be tagged by the person that submits the picture as well as that person's close friends and contacts. Library, exterior, crabapple, trees, and bloom. If I search Flickr for bloom, I will eventually get this picture because of these blooming trees. Here's other photos for the library, and you can click through and see more. And you can comment on the photos as well. So you can say, wow, what a beautiful library. I think somebody from the hurricane. You'll see. Okay, this is Rock the Shelves. This is Gwinnett Public Library, one of their branches outside of Atlanta. They closed the library for a night and had 350 teens come, okay, and five bands. And they played rock music in the library. The parents were there, but they were sequestered. And the librarian that did this, who's a good friend of mine, said the parents finally got tired and just went home. And said, let the kids have fun. This tells a story of the library that's absolutely incredible. You know, a picture's worth a thousand words, right? Oops. Oh, I don't have, you'll see it tomorrow. I have a great big one. See a great big picture. This is what's happening in this library. Okay, now, this is out on Flickr. I'm teaching right now at Dominican as adjunct, and we spent an afternoon talking about this. We found a little library very close to Dominican in Oak Park, Illinois. Okay? Public library website. Blah, blah, blah. Click here for the teen page. Click teen resources. And then there were three pictures. Band night at the library from 05. And they were kind of, you had to scroll down to get to them. And great moment with the class. Which gets the picture? This is a leading question. Which gets the pictures out more? Out in Flickr? Tag, so folks might come across them, or hiding a couple of clicks in on the public library's webpage. So a good use. You could certainly put them on the webpage, but then link them through to the clicker. Here's the library and librarians pool. You can have a pool on Flickr where all the users can contribute their photos. Anything that's tagged libraries or librarians. A lot of neat pictures of buildings there. And here's the tag specifically for librarian. And what this is, and I wish we had a whole bunch of them to look at, this is the face of librarianship in 2006 for folks that are actively putting themselves out there with social software. There's the Nancy Pearl action figure. That's me and my kayak up in northern Michigan. I tag everything I can librarian. Whoops. Okay. Ding, ding, ding. Toolkit alert. Use Flickr to host and store your images for your blog posts. And I'll tell you why. You upload a picture to Flickr, and all you have to do is click through. It says different sizes. Click, and it gives you the code to paste into your blog that will make that picture show up in the blog post, small, actual size, whatever, and it'll make it a click-through into Flickr. It's that easy. No more of this figuring it out, uploading pictures to the server, FTPing pictures to the server, whatever you have to do. Tag your photos, whatever your library name is, and this is a great way to establish presence out in the social realm online.
What about storage and bandwidth limits in Flickr?
For $25 a year, they give you like 2 gigabytes a month. So that's 24 gigabytes a year. I haven't even scratched the surface of mine, and I have like 5,000 pictures of it.
What if you wanted to put up little video clips instead of...
You can't host video there. Those would have to go on a server, yeah. But I've seen some posts that use a screenshot of the video on Flickr and then put the URL there. So there are ways to get around it. Podcasting. Anybody podcasting? For your library or for your...
Mm-hmm. Library.
What type of podcasting are you doing?
The events we set, Book Fest, One Book, we invite the authors like Bobby Ann Mason,
okay,
like Frank X Walker.
Oh,
so when they talk,
right.
Yeah, so we podcast them.
Okay, so what this is for everybody, and yay, we're doing it here in the room, is it's an audio file that is linked to a blog post and is then disseminated out. Okay. It can be time-consuming to create. How's it go?
Time-consuming to edit.
Right. So there's some time involved. I think it's getting easier. User-defined programming is part of the digital future. Our users are going to expect, they're going to go to the podcast directory someday and look around for content that interests them. And I would certainly hope the library is there as well. Here's Listen Up. If I had known, I would have put your library up here. This is Listen Up at the Decatur Campus Library of Georgia Perimeter College. They are still going strong. This is an older screenshot. They do it once a month. Do you do it once a month?
Depends. Yeah. Right now, it looks like it's once a month, but there's no definite time. But just when the events come on. There are two events that are once a month, like Faraway Places, which is an international lecture series. Another is the best of Southern culture. It's called the Kentucky Life.
Neat. Mm-hmm. Same idea here. They're blog. They're podcasting. Someone is speaking. It's being recorded about events at the library. So then I download it, and I can listen to it on my computer or on my MP3 player. Okay, why is it called podcasting? Because iPods are oh so cool, right? That's the only reason. Any MP3 player, they will play on. Or you can download a bunch of MP3 podcasts and burn them onto a CD and pop them into your CD player at home or in the car or the library, wherever. Okay? A few libraries are podcasting, I think more and more all the time, so that's good. Things you could do. If you're going to circulate podcasts to the teams, for example, record a library podcast every so often and plop that on there as well, because you're marketing the library as well. Duke Divinity School actually podcasts, and get this, the librarians go home at 5 o'clock at Duke Divinity. But the reference area is open till 9. So for that 4 hours, you can get an iPod and learn about the databases that way. Like you scroll through, you have a question about EBSCO. Click here, play this, click there. It's incredible.
Mark?
Yeah?
Have you, renting libraries, have you started to do podcasting, video podcasting? Do you think that's going to take off now?
I think it will. That's going to be the next thing.
Yeah.
For the public library folks, we will see soon enough. Somebody reading a story. the video story time, and then translate that into all the other things we might do with all of our types of libraries. Okay, what do you need to podcast? You need a few things. You need a computer and recording software. Audacity is open source. It's free. Free, free, free. That's important. You need some raw software and with RSS 2.0. That's that back end we're going to talk about. The really simple syndication, and you need time. I'm going to say it. I use a Mac. I have a Macintosh up here. The Macintosh, the newer computers with the new software, iLife 06, it's custom made to click, click, and you're podcasting. It's that easy. And I actually posted on my public, every library should have a Mac because it's so easy. But Audacity for the PC works just as well, not as easily, but works just as well. Okay, get interactive. How are we doing on time? We're going to take a break in like 5 minutes or so, okay? We'll take our first break. Talk with your users, turn on comments, and let's take a look at these. This is Ann Arbor District Library, aadl.org. They are a touchstone for me for summer 2005 when they relaunched their website made up of 7 different blogs, including their director. It's big, isn't it? This is really, truly, it is. It's huge. Maybe my director should have been blogging a year ago about what he wanted to do with the branch libraries. Okay, so Josie Parker is her name. She's the director, but she signs her post Josie with a lowercase j. How about that? And she says, and this was my example I gave you earlier, we're doing great, sir. We're going to need to build a branch. The need to expand our space and adapt to the needs and interests of the community is clear. Let us know what you need from the library. Let us know what you need from the library. How often do you see that? Where the director is actually saying to the public, tell us what you need. 12 people commented when that screenshot was taken, had already commented, talking about the branch and talking about what they should do. Okay? It's conversation. Their teen gaming blog, some of the posts have 300 and 400 comments. I was just on a podium with the Shifted librarian, Jenny Levine, in Boston on Saturday. And she took this part of, we do a similar presentation, and she said, tell me, how many of your libraries have teens, or your students, or your users doing 300 comments about anything? Yeah?
How does somebody get to develop a blog that's this good? I mean, does it take a lot of people, one people, administration?
Oh, okay. Okay, they have a dirty little secret up there. They have 11 people working in networking. I know, but, no. But this model can transfer, it can scale. This is an open source package called Drupal, D-R-U-P-A-L. It's content management, it does blogs, but it's kind of like blogs on steroids. You can do something very similar with WordPress. Really, all they're doing is turning on comments. They paid a design group to do the look and feel. And then all the content is there. This could scale. Turn on a blog, turn on comments, and start interacting. See how it goes. Other thoughts?
That's a nice idea. Wouldn't you have to have a director of the library behind it to go back on if you don't have a director behind it?
We're talking about something else here in the room today, and you hit exactly on it. We have tools. We have free tools available to us. And I can stand up here and say, how cool is this? Yay. And hopefully what I'll say tomorrow, what I want to say to you all tomorrow, is we also need to shift our view of this stuff. And we have to be transparent. And we need to be those kind of administrators that can go and see why it's important. And that's why we'll talk about it tomorrow. Other thoughts or comments? Okay, speaking of comments. Maybe one or two times somebody's used dirty word in the comments. You know what they do? They go in and they leave the first letter and then they X out the rest. And then they put edited for publication and they let it roll. And they don't worry. It's amazing. Questions?
When folks are doing the blogs like this, I'm wondering how often you have to refresh content or come up with something new in order to keep it fresh, to keep people coming back. Because that seems to me part of the big job. If you've got a limited staff, making sure that you're constantly putting new stuff up.
Right.
And getting that out there and making that a priority.
That's one of our best practices, to make it, to keep it going. Now, once you get it all set up, whatever type of blog you're doing, water blog, Google type, whatever, WordPress, once it's all set up, all it is the content. So you might say, even if it's a very small library, that somebody will post Mondays, or Monday or Tuesdays, and somebody else will post Wednesday, Thursday. So there you have two good posts that week. Might take all of 15 minutes. I've worked with librarians who get really worried about committing their words out. Blogging is very informal, just like we are here today. And I've trained librarians in my former library not to take 2 hours to improve and craft. No, no, no. This is conversational. We're just talking. So it doesn't have to be that huge thing. And that's kind of a mindset, and that's in training, if you do training, and even a small group, just get together and say, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to have an informal voice, and we're going to talk about the library. Other questions?
Okay.
All right. Yes?
We're rolling out a portal.
Okay.
I work for a law firm. And
yes.
So blog has been in our plans for a while, but it doesn't really work in a law firm environment in terms of how we wanted to use it. Originally, it was to kind of keep the attorneys informed.
Mm-hmm.
So with the portal, we're going to have practicing pages, and I'm still thinking the concepts of the blog need to be incorporated into that, but I'm not real sure if there's a good way to do that. And since I'm pretty sure there's not really a good answer for that, you can mull that.
Okay, let's mull that. I think it might be doing maybe something with the RSS feed and putting it on the side of your portal.
Okay.
Now, there are a lot of blogs out there, blaugs, law blogs. You might look at it, like law library blogs.
What we do in our library, we have the homepage that's like a portal, and then we have the blog. And since the blog, we use the WordPress, by the way. They have the categories. Each category has the RSS.
Yes.
So we create a link on the homepage, a linking to each of the category.
Yeah.
Announcement, new stuff, current events. So.
Remember my library's blog?
So it's kind of a seamless.
It's the same thing.
That's right.
Category, sorry, it's a category, click on it, you get all the postings.
That's right.
It's like it becomes its own subject-specific.
That make the combination seamless.
There were hands over here. Hi.
I wanted to ask if you have like a blog and you don't post them all the time, would that be a good reason to have an RSS feed so that when people, they'll get notified that there's something new? On your page, so they don't have to actually go look at your page.
That's the best way to do it. And it's not really wrapped up in our content today, but one of the best things you could do at your libraries is train your staff to use blog lines or the aggregator of your choice to keep up on library blogs, technology blogs, news blogs, whatever. Give them that power. Then they never have to go to another blog again. They can just be looking everywhere else. And when you do update your blog, then a little, you know, number one shows up. Oh, there's one post at the library blog. Click, and they read it. It comes to them. That's a really good point. Yeah.
Oh. Yes. Questions. We just pulled up the website, and it's very controlled.
Yeah.
Only
okay.
Certain people can control the content.
Okay.
By subject, basically,
right.
The area. So now you're looking at a different tool here where there really is no control like that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get around that whole mindset that...
Good question. I've experienced this before. I've talked to people where the university is controlling the web presence or some other entity.
IT,
right. You got to get them at the table and get talking about it. One thing you can do is come back from this and say, I went to a blogging workshop And there are universities that are taking their blog content and putting it on the front page of the university. Or news from the library. It's that important, news from the library is. You know, we're spending money, right? Libraries spend money for resources. So get that on the front page. And there are examples here, and you can find more.
And it looks like some people are doing lots of reading the site versus a website.
Right.
Could you address that?
Could you?
Things, bad things?
I think it's a great thing to do, because you could actually make a blog look so good, they wouldn't even know that it was the front page. Or just the newer news would show up right at the top where you want people to see them, and with links on the side. Nothing wrong with that. If you could somehow talk your folks into letting you do that, your library page would be much more dynamic. Yes. I really don't see any drawbacks of that. I'm an advocate for it. Other thoughts? I think we should take a break. I can't believe how the time is flying. Let's take, this will be our